Welcome to the program. We continue in our series here on some encouragement for the remnant. That is those who really do want to live for the Lord today. We're in the little book of Jude. Have your Bible ready if you can. The little book of Jude is put here in the scriptures just before the book of Revelation, and of course that was God's plan. Before we get to the end time here, we're into this age of apostasy that we're living in. What is God's purpose for putting the book of Jude in here? Well, it says right in Jude chapter 1 and verse number 24, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." The purpose of this little book is to keep us from falling. Now, when it's talking about falling, you got to look at that word in the context in which it appears, and it appears in the context of the apostasy at the end of the age. So this little book is here to keep us from falling into the swamp of apostasy that is flooding into our churches today. The songwriter has written a song, "My Anchor Holds." He says, "Blow your wildest then, O gale, by his grace I shall not fail, my anchor holds."
Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure. And it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest then, O gale, on my bark so small and frail, by his grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds. Mighty tides about me sweep, currents lurk within the deep, angry clouds o'ershade the sky, and the tempest rises high. Still I stand the tempest shock, for my anchor grips the rock. Storms obscure the light of day, But in Christ I can be bold. I've an anchor that shall hold, and it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest sin or gale on my bark so small and frail. By his grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds.
I'm reading Jude chapter 1, verse number 24 again. It says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." It says here that the Lord is able to keep us from falling. The question is, are we willing? He's able and he's willing, but are we willing? It's simply a choice. We're going to fall into this age of apostasy, or we're going to stand true to the Word of God. And if we're going to stand true to the Word of God, as the hymn writer has said, by his grace I shall not fail. Grace is simply God giving us the desire and the ability to do his will in this age in which we are living. Now, when it talks about falling, falling is a moving downward to a lower position. This has been happening at an alarming rate in the last 10, 15 years in what we call fundamentalism today, moving down to a lower position. Our problem in our so-called fundamentalism today is not what's being preached. It is mostly concerning what is not being preached. Falling. He is able to keep us from falling. Now, how do we keep our children from falling? I think we can all look back to when we had young children and we would maybe be walking through a busy intersection, and the first thing we would do is say, "Hey, take my hand here, and I'll help you across the street. We're in a dangerous situation." How does God keep his children from falling? Exactly the same way. The hymn writer has said, "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storms, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." The second verse says, "When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." Well, God allows us to pray a prayer like that. It would say, "Lord, take my hand." The Bible says in Psalm 63 and verse number 8, "My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand holdeth me up." Now notice the progression here. First of all, it says, "My soul followeth hard after thee." What is the soul? The mind, the will, and the emotions. If that is a reality in our lives, if our soul follows hard after God, the byproduct of that is his right hand will uphold us. It's a byproduct. Psalm 139 verse 10 says, "Thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." But we read in Isaiah 66 verse 2, there's some restrictions here. He said, "To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my words." And so again in verse 24, he is able to keep us from falling. But if he's going to keep us from falling, then we are going to have to follow his conditions. What are his conditions? In the Word of God, over and over again, we find verses that talk about God waiting for our action, and then he reacts accordingly. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." The byproduct of that, verse 2, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thy heart." And God's reaction, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and God's reaction, he shall direct thy path. Notice, first of all, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Number two, lean not unto your own understanding. That's our action, another action. All thy ways acknowledge him. God waits for our action, his reaction, he shall direct thy paths. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's our action, his reaction, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so once again, our verse in number 24 here in Jude chapter 1, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. He is able to keep us from falling into this apostasy if we are willing. Now, what do we mean by this word apostasy? We throw that word around quite a bit, but what do you have to do to be an apostate? Where is the line? You say, well, this man, he's not an apostate, but this man is. Who says? What? Where's the line where all of a sudden he's an apostate now? He has crossed over the line. Well, the fact is there is no line. Apostasy is not a position. It's a process. A process is a series of actions or steps taken that lead to a particular end. And apostasy is a series of actions or steps that take us to a particular end. Now, concerning the return of Christ, we read in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 3, Paul said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. There will be a falling away. It's a process. That word of falling is in the Greek is apostasia, is where we get our word apostasy. And so once again, falling is a moving downward to a lower position, and that is happening on a large scale today in our so-called fundamentalism. Now, once again, as I've said before, the main purpose of this program is to be an encouragement to those that want to stay separate, those who do not want to fall into this age of apostasy that we're living in. Well, if that's the case, what action, what are the necessary steps that we need to take in order not to fall into this age of apostasy? Well, the first thing we need to do is face the facts and face the future. We read in verse number 25, it says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly desires. They're going to walk in the wrong direction. So we need to face the reality of where we are today. Reality, the dictionary says, is the state of things as they actually exist, as opposed to how things appear to be. The condition, the state, is the condition that someone or something is in at a specific time. Now, someone is individual Christians, and something is our local churches. And so we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. It talks about they, but then it talks about thou. It says, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And so we got to face the facts. We got to look at the reality. There's going to be they who fall away, and there's going to be a remnant that says, no, I want to do the right thing. Well, what do we have to do? Well, we have to watch. We have to endure affliction and do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of our ministry. This is not the time to sit back and get apathetic. This is the time to stand true to the Word of God. And so again, we need to face the reality, and the reality is the state of things as they actually exist. And so again, I give you the dictionary definition of the word state, the condition that someone or something is in at a specific time. And we read in Romans 11, verse number 5, even so, at this present time, there is a remnant. And so quickly reviewing here, apostasy, what is it? The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away, an apostasy first, and then shall the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We're getting very close to the return of Jesus Christ, the rapture of the Christians, and then that tribulation period. 2 Thessalonians 2, that says there's going to be a falling away. The Greek there is apostasia, where we get our word apostasy. Jude 1:24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling or standing. You see, that's it. Falling is a downward movement without control from a higher level to a lower level. Standing, well, let's put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's what the Bible says to do. So first of all, we need to accept the fact that we're living in an age of apostasy. We need to face the facts, and we need to face the future. In our next program, we're going to look at God's building program. He says in verse 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. We'll be looking at that next program. In the meantime, here's a good verse to memorize, Jude chapter 1, 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest theme in the earth or main. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal strain. 'Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again. Our God is able to deliver thee. Is the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver.